Morning.
This is the Christmas season for Bangalore Bible Fellowship. This also seems to be the season of mix up with preachers. So here I am, back to speak to you. Of course, it is a blessing always to speak about the Lord's word, what He wants us to do. I am reminded of a story which Raj has taught us some time back. I might have told this to you before, but then anyway, you might have forgotten in all probability. You know, this is a season of where we have commercialized, a lot of things. Like, so one of the things that has got commercialized is the Valentine's Day, right? So there is all sort of commercial stuff available around Valentine's Day. So after about 25 years of marriage, I'm not meaning anyone in specific. After about 25 years of marriage, the wife received a card on Valentine's Day. That happens to be the first time that she received, the card on Valentine's Day. So she was so very thrilled to receive a Valentine's Day card from her husband. And she opened it and, on the front it was, said, "You are the answer to my prayer." So she was all the more thrilled. Oh, good. My husband, after 25 years, I realized, she is the answer to. And then, of course, he opened, and there was the confession from the husband. He said, the message read, "You're not what I asked for, but you're what I got." So, this morning, I don't know what your prayer has been, but, whatever you've asked for, I am what you've got as a preacher. So, let's go and find out what the Lord wants to tell us this morning. This is the Advent season. This is the season of Christmas. So, you have what goes around in the season of Christmas is the nativity play, right? The rinky dinky donkey, so beautifully depicted by a little Ezra yesterday, is still fresh in our minds. And so when we look at the nativity play, when we look at the people around the crib, what are the names that come to our mind?
The wise men,
okay, or the magi, right? Okay, the shepherds, okay,
animals,
okay, sure. Let's go back to human beings. let's look at one of the human beings around the crib.
Mary and Joseph,
for sure, yes. The innkeeper, okay. All right. Anything else? Sorry? Of course, the baby Jesus, for sure, yeah. Actually, if you look back a little bit, if you look at the Gospel of Luke, Luke 1, what Luke 1 starts with is about the birth, not about the birth of Jesus, but about the birth of John the Baptist, right? And so there are a couple of people who are involved in that too. And one of the men who is keenly involved there who strikes us is Zechariah, right? So I'm going to try and see. Let's try and see together, in other words. Let's look at some of these characters. Not all of them, we may not have time to go through all of them. But, let's try and look at some of these folks and compare them with ourselves. What has been, their reaction to Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, and how do we place ourselves with respect to that? How do we place ourselves with respect to Jesus Christ? And in what way do we seek Jesus in our lives? That's what I want to talk to you this morning. The subject is titled the characters around the crib. So let's start with Zechariah. That's where Luke chapter 1 starts on. Now Zechariah was not an ordinary man. What was he? What was his profession? No, that was Luke. Sorry, that was Matthew. Yeah, yeah. Zechariah was a priest, and as a priest, he
you know, he knew the custom, he knew the law, and he is, you know, he is supposed to be closer to God than anyone else, right? Now, and, you know, so he rose, and this incident about the incident where Angel Gabriel appears first in all the Gospels happens when Zechariah is where? He is in the temple performing, you know, his priestly duties. Okay, so he is not an ordinary man. He is supposed to know God. He is, you know, he is close to God. He performs the duties that the priest is supposed to perform. So he is there doing his priestly duties, and what happens? Angel Gabriel appears and tells him something, right? And he is sort of taken aback. What's his reaction? Let's look at Zechariah's reaction. Let's look at Zechariah's reaction. Yes, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And this is a theme which you will see all across. You know, actually when birth of Jesus is foretold, you will see this quite happening quite often. You know, the fear falling upon the people, whether it is Shepherd, whether it is Mary. You know, there is fear, you know, which comes first. And one of the very common words of Angel Gabriel is, "Fear not, for I bring you good news, for I bring you joy," and things like that. So he clears his fear. And after that, what's his reaction? What does Zechariah react with?
How can I be sure of this?
Sorry? How can I be sure of this? Alright? So this is Zechariah. And what happens to Zechariah after that? He is struck dumb. Right? He is struck dumb. So he's saying, look, and again, remember, if there's a common man, it's fine. I mean, a lot of us doubt, a lot of us ask questions, how can I be sure of this, how do I know, you know, I'm too old. There is lots of doubt surrounding what God wants to bring to us. So, Zechariah, here is Zechariah, a man of God, a priest, asking God's angel, how can I believe you? And of course, the Lord has sometimes very funny ways of convincing people. So he says, here is your sign. You know, you will not speak till the time this happens. Okay, so you are dumbstruck. Okay, so this is one character whom we have with us. Alright, so let's go on. Let's go to the, after this angel Gabriel, where does he appear next? To Mary, right? That's Gabriel's next pit stop. So he stops at Mary, and then he tells Mary something, right? And how does Mary react? She is also troubled. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I haven't known a man yet. I'm not married. I don't have a husband. How can this be? And of course, then into Gabriel. Assures her, and then what happens to Mary? Then what is her reaction? How does her reaction turn to? She bursts into a song, what we today know as the Magnificat, right? And so we'll come back to this. That is another reaction that we have, Mary's reaction, right? And then of course after then it is not in Luke. I think this is recorded more in Matthew about Joseph. What happens to Joseph when Joseph comes to know that Mary is with the child? Right? So he is troubled and he wants to divorce her in secret. And the reason is because of the Jewish laws. The Jewish laws tell that, you know, if adultery is a crime which is to be punished by stoning, I mean, death by stoning. So to that extent, so he definitely doesn't want to make Mary a public disgrace and stuff like that. So he wants to, you know, get out of it quietly and move away. And then, of course, the angel appears to him and tells him and consoles him. And then, of course, he turns back and accepts Mary as his wife. And you know, then the whole thing falls in place. Then comes the innkeeper, right? What is the innkeeper's reaction when Joseph and Mary go and Of course, innkeeper doesn't know that Jesus is coming. Angel Gabriel doesn't go and tell him. So he doesn't know who he is handling or who has come to his, his inn. But what does he say when Mary and Joseph come to him specifically, right? So he says, the inn is full. There's some place available in the manger. If you want to go there, you're welcome to go there. Let's look at this wise man. What's their story? They saw a star, and they start doing what? They start is exactly. So they go into the books, trying to find out what that star means, and then they want to validate that hypothesis, as we call it, right? And then they go and follow the star and try to find out where the star has come from. And on the way, whom do they meet? The first person who meets is Herod. And what is Herod's reaction to Jesus' birth? Herod also knew that something has happened. Somebody, a child is born. And what is Herod's reaction? Jealousy. Is it? He was troubled and he was scared. And why was he scared? Right, because he is told, the prophecy says that a king will be born in Bethlehem. So his reaction is that. And so how does he try to get around it? And what is his motive behind doing that? He wants to definitely go and find out the baby. He tells the Magi that, look, if you go, do the legwork for me, if you go find the baby, come and tell me so that I can go and we know what his real motive has been. So then, of course, we have the shepherds, who have the privilege of Angel Gabriel coming to him and telling them that there is good news. And how do they react? They leave their flock, then they say, let us go and find out. And of course they go find, and after finding, how do they react? What is their action after finding baby Jesus? They go and tell everyone, right? So that is his reaction to it. So this is overall, these are the different ways in which various people have reacted around the script. Now, what is in it for us in this? Where do we stand? Let's look at Zechariah. Actually, what is he asking? How can I believe you? Right? So in other words, he's asking, give me a sign so that I can believe you. And of course, he gets a sign. Right? He gets a sign. And again, going back to the... So even when we believe that we are closer to God, we may be considering ourselves priestly, we may be considering ourselves godly, we may be thinking that we walk close to God, but even then, this is the question we need to ask ourselves. Do we still wait for signs from God? Do we still wait for signs from God to believe that the Savior is born? To believe that the Savior is born. Let's turn to Isaiah 7:14. Let's see. Can someone read it? Isaiah 7:14.
Then he went up and touched the coffin, who carried it to school.
No, 7:40. And this has happened, this prophecy has happened long, long time back. So here, the Lord is saying, let's forget about Zechariah, let's look at us. Are we still looking for signs to believe in Jesus Christ? Do we find people whom we still say, look, let me see another sign before I commit myself fully to the Lord? Let me have another sign before I can say that the Lord is my Savior. Is there anyone among us who is in that level at that stage? We got to read Isaiah 7:14. The Lord has already given the sign. The Lord has already given the sign to us that the Virgin is with the child, and he shall be called Emmanuel. The first time, Emmanuel. And he shall be called Emmanuel, the God with us. And, the Bible is full of, doubting Thomases. People keep asking for signs. People keep asking for more and more. I don't know if any of you have heard Rajkumar, the preacher from Delhi, right? He's a convert from Hindu background, and he left his job into full time ministry. So he this is one of his favorite quotes. He says, "Look, you can ask me anything about Bible, but please do not ask me who first came twice." He says this because there are people in this world who wants to continue questioning and continue asking, "Look, Lord, give me another sign, one more evidence, and I would commit myself to the Lord. One more sign, and I will commit myself to the Lord fully." There are people in this world. So, the Bible doesn't say who is came twice, right? And of course, all of us are probably descendants, from there. But we can always question things. We can continue questioning. Look, how can I believe? How can I be sure? How can I be sure of what you're saying? We can continue doing it. Is that what we want to do? Let's park it there. Is that what we want to do? Let's look at the Magi. No, I don't know how it's pronounced. Magi is correct? Okay. Magi, the wise men. Right? What is their real motive in seeking the Lord, seeking the baby Jesus? What do you think was their real motive in seeking the Lord Jesus Christ?
Curiosity.
It is curiosity, right? It is, anything else? It's actually, they are scholars. They are people who, I'm also trying to do a doctorate. And luckily, my doctorate Crystal is not here today. Now, there are people who want to do research and, be clinically sure, be academically, have been proving the hypothesis by statistic. In our leadership framework, we go by what we call as, is this evidence statistically significant? So that's what the Magi is trying to do. Now, there is some sign, there is something which is said. Now, let us see whether this is true. Right, and as you can see, after they go pay their respects, it makes good story. It makes a good nativity play. However, do you hear about them after that? Do you hear about what they did about Jesus Christ after that? We don't. So they are the people who are drawn to Jesus because of academic interest, because of statistical significance, or because of curiosity or whatever it is. Here is the question for us. Are we in that category? Are some of us in that category where we are drawn to Jesus because of that clinical or theological or statistical significance that Christianity brings to us? In other words, do we believe in Bible because it is the largest, the best seller in the world, because that is the largest number of books, the prints ever available across any other book, or because it is the word of God? Do we believe in Christianity because it is the fastest spreading religion in this world, or because it is a faith which gives us salvation, which gives us hope, which gives us eternal life? Question for us to ponder. So let's leave it there. Herod, We know that Herod, Herod wanted to, he also sought Jesus. He also wanted to find out where Jesus Christ is. He also wanted to find out if it is true. But his motive was entirely different. His motive was really selfish. His motive was to see whether he is going to lose what he has because of this baby Jesus Christ. Are any of us in that category where we are seeking Jesus, but are our motives, are our objectives of seeking Jesus not so selfish? Or, may not be as selfish as Herod, but still, are we seeking Jesus for any selfish reasons as Herod did? But we can talk about Joseph. Are we, do we doubt? Do we need to be reassured that we are in the right direction? Or the other two people, the shepherds or Mary? Or do we want to take a cue from their lives and see what is it that we can do with this gift which has been given to us? Which is this greatest gift which the Lord has given to us. Look at Mary's reaction. What did Mary have to lose? Virtually everything. She was a young girl, she was a virgin, unmarried, and Hebrew laws are not lenient about adultery, so-called adultery. So she had virtually everything to lose. She had virtually everything to lose. She could have lost her life. Right? And remember, when Mary accepted this and said, and what is really Mary's words to the Lord? She said, "I am your servant." And of course the Magnificat goes, "Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word." And this she said even before she knew whether Joseph will accept her, Joseph will understand. She didn't ask this question. She said, "Lord, I have a doubt. You said it is the Lord's will and everything will be alright. I trust you. I accept you. I accept myself, and I am willing to give myself as a vessel for your glory, for your gift to come to this world." Look at the shepherds. Of course, they didn't have much to lose. They had a lot to gain. And however, the way they reacted is, "Look, we have seen this beautiful thing. So let us go and tell others about it." And that's probably the first event of evangelism that we see in the Bible. If you really look at the Bible and the spread of Christianity, here's what my challenge to us is. Jesus in his life, very short span, when he did his ministry, he did a lot of miracles, right? He healed the sick, he brought the dead from the grave, he brought out the dead from the grave, he healed lepers, he gave sight to blind, right? He did many things. He made the lame to walk, right? He turned water into wine. So he did many miracles. Now, look at who actually left things, who actually caused Christianity to grow. Is it Lazarus? Is it the man who got sight back from Jesus because of Jesus? Is it the leper who was healed? Is it the people in whose house the water was turned into wine, who went and brought more disciples into Jesus' belief and faith and believe in him? No. Who brought Christianity and who spread Christianity is people who actually left everything and followed him. Look at the disciples. Did they gain anything? What did Jesus tell them? "Leave what you're doing, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in Mark, in Matthew, in Luke, it is recorded that they immediately left what they were doing. They left their fathers, with the hired men, and they followed Jesus. And it is so it is not the people, you know, who gained from Jesus' ministry, who spread Christianity, who spread the faith, who spread the good news. It is the people who were willing to sacrifice what they already had, that, you know, those are the people who went and, you know, spread Christianity. So here is the probably an uncomfortable challenge for us. You know, we have gained a lot of things. Of course, we have gained eternal life. We have gained hope. We have gained peace. We have found joy in Jesus' birth. However, are we really willing to you know, emulate the disciples as Jesus asked? I mean, Jesus' great commission is not to go and bring believers into the world. He says, make people disciples. And disciples are people who take up the cross and follow Jesus. Now, so the question is, do we look to gain more and more from this faith, or do we need to say that, look Lord, I'm willing to, like Mary did, I'm willing to risk everything that I have, my reputation, my life, my treasures, and yet follow you and be your servant. You know, the challenge with us is, let's turn to Isaiah 6. Turn to Isaiah 6, you know, 8 to 10. If we read, that's the first time where Isaiah says, can we read that? 8 to 10. Isaiah 6, 8 to 10.
The Lord, the voice of the Lord, says, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell these people, be ever hearing but never understand. Never understand. Be ever seeing but never perceive. Make the heart of his people callous. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn and be healed.
No? Thank you. So this is a question which I want us to ask ourselves this morning, this Christmas season. Do we want to continue to ask for more signs, to devote ourselves completely to the Lord? Do we want to follow or seek Jesus for personal gains, because of personal motives? Do we want to follow Jesus because of the clinical evidence that we still need to get, the academic kick that it might give to us? Or do we need to follow Jesus because we are willing to be his servants and we are willing to be used by him? And the question is, what is there in Isaiah 9 and 10? Are we just hearing and not listening to the word? Do we want to really go and say that, look Lord, we want to see you, we want to listen to you, we want to do your work? Shall we close this? And then turn ourselves into what the Lord tells us in Matthew 4, verse 12. Matthew 4:12, if you read.
So Jesus was the grown up in the garden, leaving Nazareth.
Okay, sorry, my mistake. It is Mark 4:12, yeah. Not Matthew 4. Mark 4:12.
So that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be saved.
Okay. So the question that we want to ask ourselves is that do we want to continue ourselves as continuing to see but not perceiving what really it is, continuing to hear but never understanding what this message means to us, or do we want to understand it, do we want to perceive the right message, turn around, be forgiven, be healed as the Lord wants us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, for this great season of Christmas that you have given to us, the reason to rejoice, the reason for us to go forth and continue to reinforce our faith, continue to affirm our resolve, Lord, to follow your word and to believe in you wholeheartedly, to give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, to know, Lord, that this sign, the only sign that we wanted, has already been given to us. The Lord Emmanuel, God with us, he is with us because of the Christmas season, because of the first Christmas which took place 2,000 years ago, Lord. Lord, even as we look at the people around the crib, Lord, we pray that you will touch our hearts and you will make us, Lord, like Mary, where we can stand up and tell our Lord, Lord, I am your servant, be it unto me according to your word. We commit ourselves into loving care. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and ask. Shall we stand for the benediction, please? May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.